This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Success in the chaotic four-generation workplace, one being bombarded with millennials and Generation Z, requires new leadership skills that aren't taught in universities or modeled in organizations. In the new book, Counter-Mentor Leadership, How to Unlock the Potential of the Four-Generation Workplace, father-son team Kelly and Robbie Riggs share practical advice on how to bridge the generational divide between boomers and millennials. Robbie Riggs, our guest on today's This Week in America. The culture-killing generational divide that is demolishing many companies, and the stunning, often unrecognized impact of technology on the workplace. We talk about it on today's This Week in America.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
This Week in America, great for you to spend some time with us on the program today. Really appreciate it. You know, they warn you right at the beginning, disregard everything you've been taught about leadership. It's a guidebook for new leadership, how to lead the multi-generational workforce, old school boomer versus know-it-all millennial. Counter-Mentor Leadership, How to Unlock the Potential of the Four-Generation Workplace by Kelly Riggs and Robbie Riggs. Both have successful careers as entrepreneurs, and they are father and son. They have a business counter-mentoring relationship for many years, learning from each other's experiences and exploiting the other's knowledge base. Kelly is a former sales executive, two-time National Salesperson of the Year, an in-demand speaker, business performance coach, consultant. Robbie Riggs is our guest on the program today, a corporate consultant, transformational change specialist, driving successful change in companies from startups to Fortune 100s, an accomplished teacher and keynote speaker, an MBA from Boston University, and now co-author of the new book, Counter Mentor Leadership, How to Unlock the Potential of the Four-Generation Workplace. And Robbie Riggs joining us on This Week in America. Robbie, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Rick, I'm excited to be here. You know, you set the tone right with calling me the know-it-all millennial. I mean, I feel like everything I say is absolutely correct.
So well, I talked to your dad before the program, and I said, give me about a five-second introduction. And he says, you know, know-it-all, I think, pretty well covers it, and you got time, you can even say it twice if you need to. I love this book. There is so much in there, and you get my attention right at the beginning when you say you are giving away your company's money. Talk about that, because I go into the next paragraph and I find out exactly what you're talking about, and it's like that makes a lot of sense.
You know, it's so interesting that, you know, organizations love to say that their greatest asset, you know, when you walk into the break room, there's usually a poster or two on the wall. Our people are our greatest asset. But guess what? No, they're not. Your people are worth absolutely nothing. Frankly, they are dead weight if you don't invest in and have great leaders. And in today's chaotic four-generation workplace, we understand that different generations require different things. But the common thread, the common strand that binds, is the need for transformational leadership. And in the book, we get down and dirty into it. We say you're giving away your company's money. I mean, really what you're doing is putting it in a trash bin and lighting it on fire because you are not getting the most out of all four generations.
And when things go poorly, we think there's a problem with our people. And you are saying very bluntly, chances are it's not your people, it's you.
Man, Rick, you're exactly right. You know, let me ask three very, very simple questions. Who hires that employee? Who trains that employee, and who manages that employee's performance? I mean, when you have these questions, whether we're sitting in a boardroom or on surfboards having coaching sessions, it doesn't matter. The answer to those three questions is the leader, the leader, and the leader. So how then, when something goes wrong, do we like to turn and blame and say, well, you know, they just weren't a good culture fit, or, you know, they just, their resume was a little overdone. I mean, no, that's absolute garbage. The reality is that leader is not investing in key activities that matter to bring that individual up to speed and, frankly, drive their team to a higher level of performance than they've ever thought possible.
It's interesting and somewhat shocking when basically the book we all look to for management was written in 1911. Talk about that. We're stealing fouling principles from a couple centuries ago.
That's right. It's fascinating. You know, the book that we reference, and in our book, we call it Taylorian management. Kind of the common jargon today is micromanagement. But the idea of Taylorian management is tracks its way all the way back to Frederick Winslow Taylor, who people joke was actually the first consultant. He wrote a book in 1911 called The Principles of Scientific Management. And as you unpack this book, it's absolutely fascinating because he basically says that you could have a smartly trained gorilla or monkey doing the job of a man if your system is right. Now, let's fast forward 107 years to 2018. We're in a completely different world. There aren't a two-class system with laborers and management, right? We have knowledge workers. We have people that have an incredible amount of experience and different skills as they enter the workplace. And to try and say that they just need to sit down, shut up, and do what they're told, not only does it just not work, it's just dead wrong.
The book we're talking about is Counter-Mentor Leadership, How to Unlock the Potential of the Four-Generation Workplace, written by Kelly and Robbie Riggs, father and son. Robbie, with us on This Week in America. The website is countermentors.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting to read about, and then you start sort of picturing in your mind how the workplace has changed. You say the workplace now sort of looks like a Saturday afternoon at an urban mall food court. And when you think about that, that's really a graphic you can relate to because that's what we're dealing with. We've got a little bit of everything out there.
You know, it is. It's like being in the food court and you have, you know, all of these different options and it's chaotic Saturday afternoon, little kids running around. And to all you boomers who are like, yeah, little kids, come on, pump the brakes. There's all these people running around and it's just chaotic and busy. And as the Pops and I, who, of course, I wrote this with, big shout out to the Pops. I know he's listening. As we talked through this book and as we wrote it together, we kept coming back to that word chaotic because of the different expectations that the younger generation has as they come into the workplace. Rick, because of the way that they define key tenets, words like respect and loyalty and hard work and work day, how they define those things has caused absolute chaos. And if you aren't prepared for that, your organization, not only will it is it destined for mediocrity? Unfortunately, I strongly believe, and the statistics on Fortune 500 companies would back this up, I sincerely believe that you are destined for, frankly, becoming irrelevant.
You know, it's interesting as you're reading the book, Counter-Mentor Leadership, the book's available all across the country. You can link down by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As you're reading the book, you're thinking about millennials, young people. Let's just say young people, different generations. You go into the workforce, and when you get there, you would take the good and the bad, and you were looking to be not disruptive, and you were looking for a job, and you wanted to keep that job. And you say now, millennial, if they don't like what's going on in the workplace, they'll just walk out and not come back.
Yeah, and you know, it's such an interesting kind of combination of both macroeconomic factors and also family dynamics that cause this, Rick. You know, two key things happen. Number one, millennials were raised by a generation that for the first time, divorce wasn't a taboo topic. You know, about 50% of millennials grew up in homes where mother and father were divorced. So that created this environment where their entire lives they were the center of attention. I mean, think about this. Mom would plan her week, and Dad would plan his weekends traditionally all around that individual, and they would get sent back and forth, and consciously or subconsciously, they would try to one-up each other. As millennials got into grade school, elementary school, in the secondary, if you didn't get a good grade on a test, what happened? Your mom or dad went up to school and said, well, little Jimmy, he deserves this. You know, people love to talk about the participation trophy generation. The reality is the boomers are the ones that created all this. So the millennials come into the workplace and they have this attitude of, I have an expectation of being, we jokingly say, entertained, right? I want to add value. I want to be at the center of everything. I want to feel like I'm actually doing something. We know purpose is a key motivator for millennials. But when you couple with that, the incredible access, Rick, that the millennial generation and now Generation Z that's entering the workplace behind them, they have this incredible access to opportunities. I mean, if you have a bad staff meeting, a millennial will walk into the break room, jump on LinkedIn, and apply for 6 jobs in 6 minutes. In the Pops' day, he had to get out a typewriter and type a cover letter. And for millennials, Google cover letter, because I know you don't know what that means.
Oh, yes,
I mean,
yes.
It's a completely different world.
And as a boomer, you really need to look at this and not go, wait a minute, these brash young kids, they're coming in and they need to wake their turn like I had to wake my turn. What they really need, and you talk about it a lot in the book, Counter Mentor Leadership, is take advantage of what the millennial is bringing in. For the first time, they're really bringing in some skills. It's not like just come in with a some motivation, or come in with a fresh canvas. They really bring some skills to the table.
No, you're exactly right. And really, you nailed it. For the first time really in human history, the younger generation actually has something to offer the older generation. You know, it's not, you know, gone are the days of the long multi-year apprenticeships and learning how to do a certain skill. I mean, we have kids in elementary school now, Rick, learning how to code. I mean, they can quite literally write code, and they're coming into the workplace with an incredible technology savvy. They have a ridiculous understanding, a very intimate relationship with social media and the power of social networking. And they're bringing this into many boomers and late Gen Xers that don't have any idea about these things. So it truly is an opportunity for the older generation, who we call the boss, the boomer old school supervisor. It's a great opportunity for the boss to tap into and what we call grow from below. So, yes, that millennial, that Gen Z, they want to be nurtured and developed and mentored and coached, but they also want to feel like they're adding value immediately, which is a big difference. And as the boss, you have an opportunity to learn as well as teach, which is an incredible opportunity. And when you do that, the absolute potential rises exponentially.
Robbie Riggs, our guest on This Week in America, co-author with his father, Kelly Riggs, Counter Mentor Leadership. The book is available all across the country. Their website is countermentors.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You start the book off by talking about the first client that you went to, an electricity company in the northern part of Texas. And boy, there are so many lessons that came out of there. In fact, I think you said, I learned more with this first client than I did through all of business school getting my MBA. Uh-huh. Talk about that experience, because that really sets up the culture clash.
You know, it's so fascinating. The very first project I was on as a brand new consultant, straight fresh out of business school, and I was ready to do whatever. I was ready to take over the world as all young consultants are. And on my first project, we were doing a really, really cool initiative, and I'll simplify a very detailed story. But essentially, we were taking this electricity cooperative, all of their technicians off of paper and putting them on tablets. Now, you can imagine in the late 2000s, this was a big deal. I mean, the technicians had to drive from all over North Texas and meet at this location, and then drive to the territories, and then drive back to turn in their paper. I mean, it was an absolute efficiency nightmare. So we put tablets in their hands. We integrated it with their billing system, their meter reading system, all of this really, really cool stuff. So I was having a meeting with the director of billing, and a very, very nice woman. And we're having a meeting talking about the new world and how she was going to gain all these efficiencies. And now she could leverage her team to do more higher added value activities. And about halfway through the meeting, she just slams her fist on the table and says to me, as she stands up from behind her desk, who are you to tell me how to run a billing department? I have kids older. Now, Rick, at that point in my career, I had not developed my poker face, so I could only imagine at 20 years old what my face looked like. It was an unbelievable experience, and it's the perfect, metaphor personification of this culture clash. I mean, she was looking at me going, you know, she had been at that organization for 35 years. She had grown up, started working there in high school. She was now the director of billing. And here was this kid coming in and telling her how to do something differently. Just a perfect example of the huge opportunity for conflict in the workplace.
Well, yeah, she's talking about your age and then throws out there, we've always done it this way. And you talk right. a lot about right. that in the book, that so many companies get caught up in the we all always have done it this way syndrome. Counter-mentor leadership is the name of the book. Robbie Riggs with us on the program, written along with his father, Kelly Riggs. You talk about the concept of reverse monitoring and how mentoring and how this is really a way that you can sort of break down this generational thing and learn from each other, as you do with your dad. He learns from you. You learn from him. Talk about reverse mentoring, that concept.
So, you know, the idea of reverse mentoring was really pioneered by Jack Welch at GE, believe it or not. He was in front of his top 300 executives at a national meeting, and he told everyone that they needed to go find these kids and talk to them about this internet thing. So that was really the first time that we've seen reverse mentoring. But essentially what it is it's an intentional effort on behalf of the more senior employee to seek out a junior individual, junior employee in the workplace, and spend time with them one-on-one, learning about specific topics that are relevant today, topics that the older leader is not familiar with. Now, the problem with this, Rick, is it makes us so ridiculously uncomfortable, especially the boomer generation, that were raised by traditionalists and, you know, their grandparents were the greatest generation. And so there was very much you're seen and not heard at that age, and you got to sit and pay your dues. And what do you mean you have an opinion? You're not allowed to have an opinion yet. You've only been here 5 minutes. So it's very, very hard for the older generation to wrap their head around this idea of, I can learn from the younger generation, much less that they're better at something than me. So we say in the book, at the very end, we talk a lot about emotional intelligence, and becoming and transforming into a high-power, high-performing leader is an act in not only patience, but humility. I mean, you have to humble yourself and understand that there are things that you can learn from someone who your whole life you've been told they don't know anything.
And there are benefits to be gained from that. And you talk a lot about the successful company of the future is going to be one that embraces the multi-generational aspect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about the way that the workplace is changing, Rick. I mean, the boomer generation is retiring at a clip of 10,000 boomers per day. Yet every year when the studies come out about when are boomers going to retire, it goes a year further.
Yes,
so,
yes.
But boomers are working longer. They're healthier. They have kids living at home, grandkids, et cetera. So they're in the workplace longer. You have millennials who are now, last year, became the largest generation in the workplace. So quite literally taking over the workplace. And now you have Gen Z crashing the party, who, by all accounts, we think they're going to be similar to millennials, but we don't really know because they're just entering the workplace. So the reality is, this is the new truth. This is the new status quo. And if organizations continue to cling to the way we've always done it, then, and with their traditional hierarchy and the corner office and the quote-unquote open door policy that we all know means don't you even think about going near that door when it's
exactly.
Open or closed. I mean, if you stay that way, we truly believe that, like I referred to earlier, it is going to become a state of irrelevance, not just mediocrity, but actually death spiraling all the way down to not existing.
A couple minutes left in the program. You talk about leadership and management, and so often we like use those words interchangeably, and you're saying leadership is not necessarily management. They're two separate categories, two different titles.
Right. Yeah, no, it's an important distinction that we make, because when we think about when you manage someone, right, we tell people at the beginning of the book, if you're reading this and you're trying to learn how to quote-unquote manage millennials, you need to put the book down because you're not ready mentally to go out this book. But management implies a very controlling, I'm going to put a very strict process in place, and frankly, you're not allowed to do anything outside of that process. You know, Rick, in corporate America, it's become basically commonplace that when I get to work in the morning, I dock my computer, I put my coffee down, and I take my brain out and put it on the stand because we're not encouraged to think. But the organizations that are doing great things and that are pushing the organization or pushing the envelope in every industry have leaders that understand that pushing people, you know, we say leadership is the art and science of getting things done through other people. And those that understand that if I try to manage, and I'll use the term micromanage, if I try to micromanage, I become a self-limiting team of one. I cannot do, by definition, anything more than I can do. Leadership is not about that. Leadership is about doing more through other people and driving your team to a level of performance that your organization or you thought never possible.
And as you mentioned in the book, two-thirds of employees are disengaged and disinterested. So something is wrong in the workplace, and you address it. Counter-Mentor Leadership. Jeez, we're out of time, but it's a great book. Counter-Mentor Leadership, How to Unlock the Potential of the Four-Generation Workplace, written by Kelly and Robbie Riggs. Their website is countermentors.com. Click on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Hopefully we can do this again. Robbie, this has been fun. I love the book and having a chance to talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Rick, thanks so much. Next time we'll bring the pop so he can defend the older generation.
We'd love to. We'd love to get Kelly with us on the program. The book again, Counter-Mentor Leadership, How to Unlock the Potential of the Four-Generation Workplace. It's available all across the country and, of course, information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws. And now, you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. That's 800-430-9605.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Investigation Discovery's hit series Murder Chose Me, back for season two. Each episode examines a homicide case worked by Rod Demery, a former homicide detective in Shreveport, Louisiana. In his 14 years with that city's violent crimes unit, he solved or assisted in more than 250 murder cases, solving each of the 60-plus cases on which he was lead detective, including the murder of his own mother 35 years later. That happened when Rod was 3 and shaped his life. And when he was in his 20s, his brother was convicted of a murder and sentenced to life. His impressive 100% success rate, his fierce determination, and no-holds-barred approach to get a confession made him a legend in the department and one of the country's most successful homicide detectives. Rod is a decorated veteran of the Navy, service in Operation Desert Storm and Operation Desert Shield, holds a Bachelor of Science degree in criminal justice, an Amazon best-selling author, and he reflects on his most notorious cases in Investigation Discovery's powerful series, Murder Chose Me, Season 2, Wednesdays 10 Eastern Pacific, and he joins us on This Week in America. Rod, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's interesting, the title, Murder Chose Me, it really is more than a title. It's sort of what the philosophy that shaped your life, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And I actually came up with that because I'm spiritually based, and I believe that God chooses what you're going to do, and you really don't have a whole lot to say about it, just the obedience and understanding the purpose.
Well, it's interesting because you've said this basically is a calling. This really is what you feel you were chosen to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My mother's murder, I guess, is something that gave me a perspective that most don't have. You know, I know what it's like and being that surviving victim. And I watched my grandmother and my grandfather. And I knew when I started working homicides that I didn't want anyone to have a situation where they didn't know who did it or they didn't have the answers. So I understood that fully. My brother's case was something that allowed me to view people as, you know, the crime and not the criminal, I guess. And at some point that kid was somebody's brother, sister, or loved by somebody. So it gave me an interesting perspective on things.
You know, you went through a very successful season one, seen by millions worldwide, and you say going into season two, you sort of kind of like season two better. What are we going to get to see in season two?
Well, I think season two is really focused on the investigations and the mechanics of it and how I actually do it. You know, I'm old school police. I like to be hands-on. Interviews, interrogations are my strong point. The first season was an introduction, and like everybody else, you know, it's kind of, yeah, I'm being vulnerable and people saying things about me that I usually didn't expect to say or do. It's probably a little different.
You know, we're talking about Murder Chose Me back for season two. It's interesting. We're sort of accustomed, as we watch TV shows, to let science figure this out, all the CSI type of shows where science will get to the bottom of it. You use the power of communication skills. Talk about how important that is to be able to communicate, and that means listening as well as talking.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely the most powerful tool in homicide investigation and policing in general. I think the one-on-one relations with whether it's a suspect, victim, or you know, anyone for that matter, you have to have a sort of a personal connection and kind of feel what they're saying and get to the truth of something. I always think that a confession is probably more important than anything else. I mean, you can find guns, hairs, fiber, and all that other stuff, and that's not to discount science, but, you know, they found a lot of that stuff in the OJ case. The reality is if you talk to somebody and they tell you how they did it, when they did it, why they did it, and leads you to the evidence, then you're pretty certain that's the right person.
You know, as we're watching Murder Chose Me, it's interesting because we really see that violent crimes have no boundaries. Violent crime can happen to all of us.
Absolutely, and I think that's the key to it. You hit the nail right on the head. There's no way to predict it. There's no way to say that it's more likely to happen to this person or that person. You know, when somebody has that propensity for violence, they're going to act, you know, and that can be somebody that's affluent or that could be somebody in the inner city. But when they can't control their passions and they can't see any other way out of a situation, then they resort to violence. And a lot of times, most times, it ends up in a murder. And to think that maybe there's someone or some particular person or group or area that it happens to is a very, very unfortunate miscalculation.
We're back for season two, Murder Chose Me, Wednesdays 10 Eastern Pacific on Investigation Discovery, each episode examining a homicide case worked on by our guest on the program, Rod Demery. Rod, congratulations on the success of the series. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate you, Rick.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton, and join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.